name of our risen Lord and Christ, brothers and sisters. The Augsburg Confession, in its 21st article, which deals with the veneration of the saints, gives this advice for such worship or veneration of the saints. The remembrance of the saints may be set before us, that we may follow their faith and good works according to our own calling. Well, when we talk about remembering the saints, that we may see their faith and good works, I suppose most of us think of the great and exemplary figures of the course of God's dealing with us in this world. People like David or Paul or Peter, or even more contemporary figures like a Martin Luther or a C.S.W. Walker or someone very close to us in our own family of Christian believers. It's easy for us to understand how such people can be the objects of our remembrance, that we may see their faith and good works and imitate them each in our own calling. But what do you do on a day when you're remembering St. Philip and James the Less? There is so little known about them, they are so relatively obscure, that it's difficult indeed for us to remember their faith, to remember their work, because there's so little to remember. Little, but still something. And in fact, brothers and sisters, the very obscurity of these men suggests to people like us, who are also relatively obscure people, that these are indeed saints worth remembering. The gospel that was read for us just a moment ago deals with one of the few accounts in which St. Philip is mentioned. And so we turn our attention to St. Philip for a few moments this morning of remembering that saint. He has a pattern that we can follow in at least three respects: in his problem, in his theological education, and then in the work which he did for the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his problem? Well, we don't know very much about it, but the gospel according to St. John in chapter 14 begins with these words. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." The context gives us a clue as to what had been going on. Jesus had been comforting the disciples in the news of his imminent departure by reminding them that he was going to the Father's house to prepare rooms for them and for all men. "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." And then in those well-known words, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." He himself had been talking about his essential mission as the way, the truth, and the life, as the means by which all men come to the Father. And in fact, in the words immediately preceding the statement attributed to Philip, Jesus even tells the disciples, "From now on, you do know him and have seen him," meaning that because of their contact with the Lord Jesus himself, in Jesus they were getting to know the Father and were actually seeing the Father through Jesus Christ. It's in that context that Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." We can get rid of this lack of trust and confidence, or we can get rid of this confusion, this endless perplexity, this doubt about who we are and what we are doing in this world, Jesus, if you just show us the Father. None of us seeing the Father through you. Show us the Father directly. Make him evident to all of us, Jesus, and that will be enough for us. Do you recognize that problem? I sure do in myself. Forever seeking after a direct evidence from God that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Forever seeking after some direct manifestation Nothing less than seeing God Himself sometimes seems to be enough for my weak and stumbling faith. It all seems so difficult. To get to know God through Jesus Christ, a man like us, in fact, a man who went to the cross for us, a man who preached these remarkable things that we read in the gospel for today. And all too often we, like Philip, are a bit slow to believe, we find it a bit difficult. We find a theology of glory, as Martin Luther used to call it, a bit more attractive, much easier to deal with, much more comfortable for us in the task God has given us. Lord, if you would just show us the Father, that would be enough for us. But Philip's theological education didn't happen that way, nor does ours. In fact, what little we know about it occurs in the gospel read a moment ago. Jesus' answer to Philip was, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it's the Father living in me who is doing his work." In other words, Philip came to know the Father through Jesus Christ. There was no direct vision of God, no theophany other than the theophany of his Son Jesus Christ. A man like Philip, a man like you and me. It was, in short, through Jesus Christ and the direct confrontation by him that Philip came to know the Father, came to know the Father as a good and benevolent Father who forgives sins, who promises life, who prepares mansions in heaven for his own. And that's the way it is with us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We have no other way to the Father, no other way to knowing God's truth, no other clues as to God's will for our lives and the lives of all others than through Jesus Christ, in his very humanity, living our lives and dying our death and rising triumphantly from the tomb, giving himself to us in the waters of holy baptism, in the bread and wine of holy communion, in the words of brothers who speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. That's our theological education, as it was Philip. It's Jesus revealing the Father to us, no direct vision of God. But then in the third pattern of remembrance, Philip poses for us also an admirable figure to remember. For his work, little as we know about it from the pages of the New Testament, is the kind of work we have been called to do. We're told about Philip's work in two places. John chapter 1, there it is Philip, you will remember, after being called to be our Savior's disciple, Philip found Nathanael. Little more is said about that incident, other than Philip's invitation to Nathanael after telling him who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ had accomplished, very simply stated it was, "Come and see." And then there was one other occasion, also recorded in the Gospel of John, in chapter 12, where St. John records that the Greeks came to see Jesus, but they came to see Jesus via Philip, leading some to conjecture that Philip may have been of Greek origin himself. But at any rate, these Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip, we're told very simply, went and talked things over with Andrew, and then the two of them took the Greeks to Jesus. A very simple account of this saint's life and work, an invitation to Nathanael to come and see, and the leading of the Greeks together with Andrew to Jesus. His work, based on this theological education that he had in Jesus' own seminary, the education of learning to know God through the man of Nazareth, led him simply to go out into the world and invite others to come and see, to get to know who Jesus Christ is. And that, my brethren, is simply stated our work too. spectacular saints like Paul and Peter and David. No, we're more like Philip. People who have our doubts and our fears and our difficulties in believing, who are always seeking after theologies of glory rather than the theology of the cross. And yet, face to face with Jesus is our life. It's our training. It's the means by which the Father lives in us and reveals himself to us. And now we live our lives in order to bring others to Jesus, to show them that in Jesus Christ, the Father's face is kind and forgiving and accepting, and to remind all men that he is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And what a marvelous promise we have as we go about that work as modern day Philip. Remember those words from the Gospel? Jesus tells Philip, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. In other words, Jesus' absence physically from our midst is no cause for alarm or panic. In fact, even greater things are promised to us who are the modern-day Philip inviting people to Jesus. I will do whatever you ask in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Brothers, that's our promise. As we become messengers of the good news like Philip. And if we do that, then we are really fulfilling, after all, what our fathers wrote in the Augsburg Confession. That kind of remembering of the saints, as we follow Philip's faith and Philip's good work, may be especially pleasing and a great blessing to many as we carry out our calling in this day and age. God help us to emulate